basically, there is one principle of all the cases that are mentioned in the Mishnah. That if the object that fell and killed a person, it was going downward, okay? Well, for instance, if he fell on a person, if he was going down the ladder when it was happening, then he's obligated to go to exile. Okay? That's considered negligence, and he has to go to exile. Right. But one of the cities of refuge. But however, if it's going up, if he's going up the ladder, or the object that fell and killed somebody was going up, like if he was looking in a casket and the rope broke, so then, or the rope slipped out of his hand, so then the rope broke, so then he's not obligated to go, okay? Yeah. So the first thing that our Gemara does is it tries to prove from a pasuk that it is so. Okay? And it says, Vayapel. Okay? Now, the thing is, we said the other day was that the Torah has deductions that are very different than deductions that we make in everyday life. Okay? So, the thing is, we have a certain type of a deduction based on a particular word. It's a special way of deducing that the Torah was written in such a way that you can make deductions. Okay? And here it says, and he caught, the verse says that he caused it to fall on him and he died. What does it mean he caused it? Really, what does it mean he caused it? Should say, if it slipped out of his hand, or it fell. What do you mean he caused it? So the interpretation that our sages say in the Gemara is that it has to be by causing means it is a continuation of the way it is going. In other words, if it's going down, so therefore it has a tendency, like it's going down, like you might have a tendency to allow it to go, continue more. You understand? Or gravity. So you have to fight the gravity. You have to know that you have to be more careful. But going up, then it says, so going up, not. But he gets it from a deduction from the pasuk. In other words, if you are on a height, then you, if it's going towards downward, so then you have to be careful. But however, going up, okay, since you're going up, so you are fighting, like you're pulling it up, so therefore, according to the deduction, we're not explaining why it worked, but according to the deduction of Ayapel, that he caused it to fall, according to that deduction, the Gemara says that it has to be the object is going downward for him to be obligated in exile, not upward. Okay, the next part of the Gemara, sages say, it says in the pasuk, the shkaga with negligence. So the Gemara says, when it says negligence, it means negligence, but not intentionally. In other words, if you do it by negligence, then you can go to the city of refuge. But if you do it intentionally, then you can't go to the city of refuge. And then this Bereisa continues and says, if he does it, and there's a pasuk that says he does it without knowledge. Okay? So he says, that means, yeah, without knowledge, but not if he had intention, which is the opposite. Okay? So they're making a deduction, but this is not a special type of deduction like we had before. This would be a normal type of deduction in everyday speech, that you can't make these type of deductions. Okay? Because if you say negligence goes to exile, that excludes intentionally. You say you didn't think about it, it was done unconsciously, so that excludes if you did it intentionally. Okay? So that makes sense in everyday life type of deduction. Okay, the question is really these laws don't have anything to do with us, right? So why bother learning it? It might have to do if we ever own the land and the land is run according to Jewish law, okay? So then we would set up these cities. But however, the country now is not run by these laws. So the question is, why should we study these type of laws? Okay. Now the first answer that Jacob gave was we should learn the practical laws, and we should know all the laws of Torah. As a Jew, I should know in general God's system of running a country, and so therefore I should study all the laws, which is a true answer. Okay, but there is another reason why it doesn't matter which Gemara we learn. Okay, there's a difference between Gemara and Halacha. Halacha, I should learn first the laws that apply to me today. Okay, Gemara, it doesn't make that big of a difference. Okay, but I'd like to explain why. Okay, there are two types of logic: deduction and induction. Okay, deduction is where I get one fact from another. In other words, like this. Let's first take our Gemara. Our Gemara says that if you kill somebody because of negligence, you have to run to one of the cities of refuge. So what is the implication? If you do it because of negligence, what if I do it on purpose? Then I don't run to the city of refuge. Then the city of refuge will not protect me. We will pull you out of the city of refuge and put you on trial for murder. Okay? That is a real deduction. We now have a new fact. The first fact that we had, that negligence, you go to the city of refuge. The new fact that we have is that if you do it on purpose, you do it intentionally, then you don't go to the city of refuge. Okay? That's the new fact. And in fact, there are many, many, many times in everyday life that you don't even realize you're making deductions. You hear a knock on the door. All you hear is a sound, some banging on the door. But you make an interpretation, a new fact. There is somebody banging, and therefore you say, who's there? You understand? You are interpreting the knock. The knock is only a sound, but you are interpreting the sound. That is deduction. You're getting a new piece of information. You see, you're walking, and in front of you, you see a shadow in the form of a human, so therefore you know that a human is behind you. All you see is the shadow. From that fact, you know that a human is behind you. These are all deductions, okay? You see water running from 9th Street to 10th Street, you deduce 9th Street is higher than 10th Street, okay? That's a new fact that you didn't have. All you see is the water is running from 9th Street to 10th Street. You deduce, therefore, 9th Street must be higher because water goes with the law of gravity, so therefore, 9th Street must be higher than 10th Street. That is called deduction. Again, deduction means where I have one fact and I get a new fact. From one fact, I get a new fact. Like I hear the knock, I can now interpret and have a new fact that there are two different types of knock. There could be the knock, which I understand sounds like a banging, or it could be a woodpecker, which has a different type of sound, in which case I wouldn't say come in. Okay? So the thing is that you interpret sounds, you interpret shadows. All these things are interpretation, and the interpretation is such that you get a new fact. Okay? Is that clear? Now we come to induction. What is induction? Okay? Induction is we abstract. Induction means I abstract. What does the word abstract mean? There are certain things in this world that you could see while it's attached to the physical, but you cannot separate it from the physical. The mind separates it from the physical, that is called abstract. For instance, color must be attached to something. But yet many times we talk about color as if color can exist separate from an object. Color must be attached to an object. You cannot see color if it's not attached to an object. But the mind talks about it as if it exists by itself. We talk about color and the ideas of color, or the different types of colors. We talk about it as if it exists by itself. What the mind is doing is abstracting, separating certain components of certain qualities that are attached to the physical world. I would like to ask another question. What is form? Form. In other words, if I touch this desk, I'm touching the desk. That is not the form of the desk. Form means the end of the object. The end of the object, where the object ends, that is the form. You cannot touch the end of an object, cannot be separated from the object. Can't be. But we talk about form. In fact, we have a whole science of form called geometry. You understand? So therefore, form, in fact, if you listen to the definition, what is a line? A line has length but no width. There's no such thing in the physical world that has length without width. Can't exist. But if you call the end of an object form, so then yes, the end can have length, because the form goes the length of the object, but since it's the end, it's not the physical object, it has no width. You see? So form is the end, where the object ends, that becomes the form of the object. So we talk about form as if it's a real physical thing. But the thing is, it's not. Even time. I say, what time was this desk made? Now, in the desk, you don't see time. But yet we abstract the idea that it was made in a certain time. But yet it's not in the desk, it's just when the thing was made. So the thing is, induction is taking out certain qualities, abstracting, in other words, which you don't, it is things which are attached to the object but can't be separated. I'll give you a different comparison. For instance, hands are a part of the body, right? But a hand can be separated. You understand? That is not abstracting. That is not abstracting. That's just, you could separate in the physical thing, you could separate a desk that has different parts, you could separate the parts. That is not abstracting. Abstracting means where there is something about the object which cannot be separated, but I separate it as if it exists by itself. My mind separates it, but in the physical world it can't be separated. But my mind separates it and talks about it as if it exists by itself. In other words, deducing is I have two separate facts. Like I hear a sound, right, a knocking, and then I interpret there's a human being there, which is a physical object. That's deducing. I'm getting a new fact. Here I'm taking the object and breaking it down to different qualities. Object has different qualities. When was it made? Who made it? Because once it's made, you don't need the one that made it. You understand? Different things like that, the form. These are things that must exist in the object, but my mind separates it. It separates it. The Gemara, if you know how to learn Gemara, to read, translate, and explain on your own, if you're able to do that, it's not only learning words, but you have to have been trained in these two types of logic. Because the Gemara, you'll always notice, as you get to know the Gemara, it's always deducing, and it's always getting new facts and new information about the Mishnah. Okay? So therefore you got deduction. Now the way the Gemara was written, the Gemara is written in such a way that you must abstract the idea from the words. I'll show you what I mean. Let's say you read a magazine, right? When you read it, you don't have to think because the words describe the picture so clearly that it forms a picture. You just read through a whole, you can read through a whole book without you really stopping to think about it, because the book draws pictures for you. Okay? But let's take the Gemara. A contradiction must have two statements. When the Gemara writes a contradiction, it only writes one statement. So you have to abstract what the contradiction is from these words. The way they wrote the words, they train you. You just can't read through the Gemara. The mind must work and abstract the contradiction. When we have an answer, so then it's not just reading the answer, but first of all, how it gets across the information. It's also, you have to abstract what the case is, because it doesn't write it as clear as a magazine. They wrote it in the shortest amount of words possible that the mind can pick it up through thinking about it. Okay? You'll find great thinkers in different sciences many times wrote certain ideas, and you have to understand what they're saying from those ideas. You have to abstract the meaning. Okay? Because the meaning is not, you have to abstract from those words all the meanings that he had in mind there that he didn't write. So therefore, from the interpretation of the writing, you are learning how to abstract. So when they wrote the Talmud, they wrote the Talmud on a very simple level. You're learning the two basic methods of logic, namely deduction and induction. Okay? And that's what we're going to spend the year on, learning how to abstract the contradiction and the answer, and then see the new information that we got from the subject, what they're getting, new facts about the Mishnah, or new facts about a Braisa, whatever it is. As we come to it, we'll discuss it more. So therefore, if we're learning to train our minds, it really doesn't matter what subject you take. Whatever subject you take, whether it's practical or not practical of the laws, the way the Talmud was written, it's automatically a training of the mind. Your mind has to be trained by if you learn how to read, translate, and explain the Gemara on your own. By the way, the term that we use is laning, knowing how to make a laning. A laning means, it happens to be a Yiddish word that they use in all the yeshivas. And the laning means that I have the ability to read, translate, and explain the contradiction, to explain the answer, or if there's a sequence of steps, to explain the sequence of events. Okay? So therefore, it doesn't matter which Gemara you learn, the style of the Gemara is so written that whichever Gemara you learn, you'll be training your mind both in deduction and induction. And once again, the word laning means that you have the ability to read, translate, and explain the Gemara. If you can do that, then it's not only knowing new words that you can do that, there has to be a certain level of training of the mind. When you have that level of training of the mind, then you'll be able to do that.
The first thing that we have to do is explain the word pshita, which means obvious. Okay? The question is, what makes something obvious? Obvious means there's only one possibility. There's only one possibility. If there are two possibilities, in other words, like this, there's only one possibility, like I have to go to school, I'm not given any other choices, so it's obvious I have to go to school. What if I'm given two choices? So then the thing is not obvious, right? When there's two possibilities, it's not obvious, okay? Now the Gemara says that it says in the Pasuk, this is what we got before, that when it says Bishgaga means what? That when it says in the Pasuk negligence, that excludes, comes to exclude that on purpose you can do not go to the cities of refuge. That's obvious. Only Shgaga goes, of course, Mason. Of course, if you do it on purpose, you don't go. I don't need the Pasuk to tell me that idea. Even through implication, I don't need the Pasuk to tell me through implication that mazes, that if you do it on purpose, you do not go to the cities of refuge. It's obvious. Okay? That is the question. And he explains why it's obvious, because he is subject to death. He deserves death. you deserve death, then that's it. You get the death penalty. He's dead. He can't go to the... He deserves death. He can't go to the cities of refuge. Okay? Is that clear? What the Gemara is saying? In other words, that's the contradiction. There's a contradiction here. And remember, when we have a contradiction, there's two statements. The two statements that, in other words, we have two statements. One statement is the deduction that we said before. He says that it says negligence. Negligence excludes mazes. Okay? So the implication of the pasuk, right, is one statement. The other statement is that it's not necessary for the Torah to tell me that implication because it's obvious. It's not necessary for the pasuk to tell me that because it's obvious. That's the second statement. So Rava says that we're going to make a difference. You're right. That implication does not make sense. Okay? And because of your contradiction, I'm going to show you that you can make a different implication. Okay? And that is, it says in the pasuk negligence, that's to exclude somebody who says that it's permissible. Okay? I will explain what that means. Okay? What does it mean? What does it mean, somebody who says that it's permissible? All right, listen carefully. Let's say there's a person that doesn't know that murder is prohibited. He simply doesn't know. He thinks murder is okay. Okay? He's simply ignorant. Okay? He thinks it's permissible. Is that the fact that he doesn't know, is that negligence? Or is that an accident? Or is that? No, I'm sorry. Leave that out. Okay. Is that negligence or is that on purpose?
No.
Is that purpose?
That's on purpose.
So you see that there are two logical possibilities. In other words, either it could be negligence. Could be it's negligence because he should have known. So it's negligence that he didn't find out what the law is in this case. Or it could be that since he murdered somebody, even though he holds that it is, he doesn't know, so therefore, but he still didn't act on purpose. He didn't act, he purposely did this act, even though he didn't know, he didn't act on purpose. So I could look at it as negligence, or I could look at it as purpose. If it is negligence, so then he doesn't go to the, then he does go to the cities of refuge. We look at it as purpose, so then he doesn't go to the cities of refuge. So there's two logical possibilities, is that correct? So therefore, since there's two logical possibilities, I need the Torah to tell me which is the correct possibility. Is that correct? Therefore, the Torah tells me negligence. Negligence goes to the Ore Miklat, to the cities of refuge, but not a person who thinks it's permissible to murder. That we don't consider negligence. We consider that a purposeful act. In other words, the question is that there is that maybe the guy is a threat. Okay, it has nothing to do with threat. There's a legal system. Okay, legally. Is this considered an act of murder or not? Then there's two logical possibilities. You could say because he didn't know the law and that he should have found out, that's negligence. Or you could have said that he did a murder on purpose. He purposely went out to kill this person. How does the law look at it? How does God from the Torah want us to look at it? Should we look at it as negligence or should we look at it as purpose? That is the two possibilities. So therefore, now I do need the pasuk to tell me the correct possibility. So what does the pasuk tell me? The pasuk tells me that negligence, yes, but if somebody thinks that murder is permissible, then we consider an act of purpose. He did a purposeful act, and therefore he cannot go to the cities of refuge. Okay, we're up to Boy Mine Rebbe Bua. Okay, Rebbe Bua asked the question. Okay, in the Gemara there are two types of questions. There's a She'ela and a Kasha. Okay, both of them, what they both have in common is there's two statements, and both statements are opposites. Okay, now a Kasha is where the two statements are true. Like I say, it's raining outside, I say it's not raining outside. Now I'm saying them both as true, so I'm caught in a contradiction. That's a kasha. The she'ela is where there are two statements, both are opposites, but both are unknown. Like I say, is it raining or is it not raining? I don't know which one is true, so therefore, that's a she'ela. And the term ba'a mineh, which we're up to, is always a she'ela. Every different types of ba'a, but it's always a she'ela. The she'ela over here is like this. In our Mishnah it states that if you are going up a ladder, then you don't go to the Orei Miklot, or the cities of refuge. If you're going down the ladder, so then you do go to one of the cities of refuge. Okay? Now here I am going up the ladder. Okay? I'm going up the ladder. But when the thing breaks, if one of the steps breaks, so then my foot is going down, I'm really going down the ladder at that second. I'm going down the ladder. Okay? And since intention has nothing to do with it, that we proved from before, that intention, what your intention is, has nothing to do with it. So the thing is, it has to do with your bodily movement. So you are, in one way you are going up, but in another way you're going down, because when the step of the ladder broke, or it got dislodged, so the thing is, so that's the question. The question is he going up, or because it slips and his foot is going down, is that considered a downward motion, and therefore he would go to the city of refuge? That is the question. The Gemara now is saying, is asking a contradiction against Rabbi Yochanan. But before I start, I have to explain the style of writing the Mishnah. The rule is that the Mishnah, when it writes a case, the case is there for you to abstract the principle or concept behind the case. They leave it to you. Okay? Our Mishnah does a very strange thing. Our Mishnah writes three cases, which is very obvious that the rule of the three cases is that going down, you go to exile. Going up, you do not go to exile. But however, then the Gemara concludes, this is the principle. And they get the principle and says, this is the principle is going down, you go to exile, going up, you don't. I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that. I would know that on my own. I don't need the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah does do that, the style of writing is that they extended the principle, what we would have gotten from the first three on its own, to extend it to a case that is very similar to these cases. It doesn't precisely fit in to these type of cases, but the Mishnah wants it to be an extension of those cases. Okay? That it should have, by extension I mean that it has the same law, even though it's slightly different, it has the same law as the original case. Okay? Okay. So the thing, okay, is that clear? Now, Rabbi Yochanan, when he answered the question, he compared it to the case where you go down for the purpose of coming up. Okay? So even though his purpose was for coming up, if it was going down and he killed somebody with an axe, let's say he was bringing the axe down for leverage so he should bring it up, so then, if he kills somebody, that's going down. This case is he had no intention of going down. Okay? That's the problem. So the thing is, you could compare it to that case, or it's possible you don't have to compare it to that case. So Rabbi Yochanan compares that with the slipping of the rung to that case. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yochanan does. What we're asking on Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is extending the three cases. What is the closest case that's slightly different than our Mishnah? Where he slips. It's an act of going down, but he never had any intention for any reason to go down. For any reason. So we will say that the reason why the Mishnah added the principle, this is the principle, that this is not the method of going down. If it's not the path of going down, then you do not go to exile, right? If it's not the path of going down, if you're not going down, so then why did it add that principle? It added that principle to tell me where you did a downward act, but you really never wanted to do it. The rung slipped. You had no reason at all. It wasn't even as a means to something. So he's saying that's why they gave that principle to extend it to that case. And Rabbi Yochanan, who's an Amora, an author of the Gemara, cannot argue with the author of the Mishnah. So because of that, this is a contradiction against Rabbi Yochanan. And now if we're deducing from our Mishnah that our Mishnah is saying, because it says this is the principle, that if it's not in the manner of going down, it's for an extension, it would extend it to this case, right? To the case where he slips, or the rung slips. So he's going down, but he had no desire to go down at all. Not even as a means to go up. Okay? So he had no desire for this. It was against his will. Okay? So we want to say that is the extension. That's the case that we're extending to our Mishnah. If that is true, then Rabbi Yochanan, who's an Amora, cannot argue with that case. Because he's an Amora, and he can't argue with the Mishnah. Okay? So therefore, it's a contradiction against Rabbi Yochanan, who wanted to compare it to the act where you're going down for the purpose of picking it up. Once again, the contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan says, when we ask if the rung slips, the rung breaks, and your foot is going down, is that going up or going down? What he did is he compared it to the act where you're going down for the purpose of going up. Like the hammer that you want to bear, that you go down to bring it up, to get the leverage to bring it up, right? So there go, even though it's for the purpose of going up, but the act is going down, so he compared it to that act. And so he says, therefore, since your foot is actually going down, therefore, it's going down and you have to go to the city of refuge. Okay? But because of our extension, what we want to extend from the Mishnah, right, because of the principle that the Mishnah said, so we want to extend this case as the extension of the Mishnah, and this is the only case we could extend it to the Mishnah, which means that where you're going down, you don't want to go down. When you slip, it's not because it's for the purpose of coming up. You don't want to go down. So when we say it's your action, not your purpose, it's if you have a purpose of going down for the purpose of going up. You're going down not because you want to go down, for the purpose of going up. So it's still an act of going down. But this is not an act. This is your slip. It's not even an act. You're not doing anything. You're going down not because of your own decision or your own volition. It's not because you want to go down. You're going down because the rung slipped. So therefore, if we want to extend the three cases of our Mishnah and make because they said this principle, so we want to extend it, So the only case we can extend it is where you're going down where you don't want to go down. That is not called going down. So therefore, we say you don't go to the city of refuge. And since Rabbi Yochanan cannot argue with the Mishnah, so our Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's statement.